Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to the book of Genesis once again this morning. Genesis chapter number 12. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the book of Genesis. And last week, we were introduced to the character named Abram. Most of us would remember that his name was changed to Abraham. But this morning, we're going to be looking at Abram. And we looked at the call that God had on his life last week. It was a call to faith. He asked him to leave his homeland. He asked him to leave his family. And then he brought him on this journey of a life to faith. And we encouraged last week for us to consider what type of faith it took for him to leave his place. And remember last week, he was from the Ur of the Chaldees. And we said this area over here was the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham, by faith, left the Ur of Chaldees. But it was partial obedience. Remember, he made that stop in Haran. And we talked about how it's important that we just don't partially obey God. It is a continual, always just simply obeying God and obeying truth. That is what a walk of faith is. And this morning, as we look at the message, where I look at that, Abraham kind of slipped up a little bit. And his walk for faith, as many of us do, Abraham slips up. And we see it in this morning in the passage of Scripture that it's probably one of the saddest moments in the entire life of Abraham. See, there was a famine that was brought onto the land, and Abraham made a decision. Instead of staying on that path of faith and trusting in God where God had brought him, Abraham had made a choice, and he had chose to go down to Egypt. And we're going to call over here Egypt today. And in Egypt, in the Bible, it's interesting that Egypt is always a picture and a type of the world. You say, the world, what do you mean? I'm not talking about the trees and the birds and the grass, but I'm talking about the philosophy of the world, the world itself, the way it thinks. It's instead of thinking spiritually as godly, there is a world type of philosophy that's out there, and that's the philosophy that they give there. And it talks about how Egypt always represents that in the Bible. Anytime you mention and you read in the Bible, they went into Egypt, they went down to Egypt, it's referring to them and going back to the world. It was there that the children of Israel was in bondage for over 400 years. And you remember that later on in the book of Exodus. But you even remember that many times what they would do is they would still desire, even the Israelites after God freed them through the plagues, desire to go back to Egypt. And that's kind of what we're going to look at today is the truth about the path to Egypt. The truth about the path to Egypt. You know, as Christians, if we're honest, that many times we fall off this path of faith that we're on. We talked about that call that God had last week about that faith, that call to live a life of faith and that continual life of faith. And many times we go back in our own reasoning and we fall back and we make our own decisions and we base things and off of how we feel instead of the way that God would want us to feel. And this is what Abraham does here in this passage of Scripture. Look at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start in verse number 10. As the Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that I may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had." Now, this is what we're going to try to get to this morning. Anytime that we leave God's great path of faith, when God calls us, God has a best for us. God has a life for us. God has a destiny. He has a plan for us with our lives. He desires for us to follow after him, and that we walk not by sight, but walk by faith. And we're going to consider this area that where God's best, God's plan for us. Now, many times what has happened when a Christian or a believer leaves God's best and goes back to the world, there are some complications that will happen. And that's what we're going to see in this story, the complications that happen. So let's look for a few minutes at the truth about the path to Egypt. First thing I want you to see about the truth about the path to Egypt, it is a dangerous path. It is a dangerous path. Now, let's remember this. God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, this was a place that was very productive. It was a very materialized. It was very sophisticated for that day and time. He left everything behind to come to this place of Canaan. And in Canaan, even though it was a place that had Canaanites there that were like barbarous type people, not only did it have Canaanites here, now we see it has a famine there too. So Abraham is here. He's in the center of God's will. He's listening to God. He is doing what's God's best. And it's a dangerous choice. Anytime you choose to leave God's best and go back to the world or go away from what God's best, it's a dangerous choice because you leave God's best. You leave God's best. He leaves God's best for Abram. Canaan land was where he was supposed to be. And there is no other place better for you today than where God wants you to be. Now, back in the world or over in Egypt or even in the Ur of Chaldees, that things might look a little bit better. Things might be more sophisticated. They might have better things. But in God's best place for you, there's nothing better for you. And you think about Jonah. He had a destination God wanted him to go. God told him to go where? God told him to go to Nineveh. But Jonah thinks in his own reasoning and with his own mindset, he says, you know what? I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like those people there. Even though that's where God wants me, even though that's where God's best is for me, I don't want to go there. I instead will go the other way. But you see the complications that happen. Jonah gets on the boat, and the boat is rocked by the storm, and they throw Jonah overboard, and Jonah's swallowed by a whale. And he ends up being swallowed by the whale, gets right with God, and spit back out where God wanted him in the first place. Here, I'm just trying to say that if you choose to leave God's best and God's plan for your life, you know what? You're making a dangerous choice. It's a dangerous pathway to get out of God's best, because God's best is where God will provide for you, is where God will protect you. There's a whole series of events that now happens in Abraham's life, and it's all because he chose not to trust God. He chose to know what God's best was, and he says, you know what? I see these Canaanites, they're not like me, I'm not like them. I see the famine that's happening. I know God wants me here, but you know, down in Egypt, over there, it looks like there's no problems. But I tell you, to leave God's best and make the choice to go over to the world or go over to Egypt, it's a very, very dangerous pathway. Not only does it lead him from God's best, it also leads him from God's test. Leads him from God's test. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you read in the story here, you see that there's a famine that comes in verse number 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. See, I believe that these two things that Abram saw, these Canaanites and this famine, they were not because of any type of sin in Abram's life. God allowed these things to come in his life to test him. He allowed these things to come into his life to test him. You see, real faith will be tested. He left God's best. He ran away from God's test. And we must remember that what we must do during a time of testing is to grab a hold of what God has intended for us and say, God, this is what's best for me. I know this is what you want for me. By faith, I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to turn somewhere else where I might think it's easier, but instead, I'm going to pass the test that you're giving me. And instead of running away, I'm going to stay exactly where you have planet me and where you want me at. You say, Pastor, how do I apply this to my heart? How do I apply that to my life today? Well, there's a lot of different ways you can. Sometimes when people come to a church, they feel like God has led them to a church and God leads them there. They're there and they're serving, and maybe something pops up and something doesn't go their way. And they turn around and say, you know what? Things aren't worth it here. I'm just going to turn around and I'm going to leave. I know this is where God wants me, but it'd just be so much easier to leave and go somewhere else. We remember the story of Ruth. Remember the story of how her father-in-law was in Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, there, what happened? There came this great famine. And so what did he decide to do? He decided to take him, his wife, and his two boys and leave where God's best was. Leave where God wanted them at and head on down to Moab. Head on down away from what God wanted for their life and what ended up happening. the father-in-law ended up losing his life. The two boys ended up losing their life. And then the mother, they had gotten married during that time. The mother, Naomi, comes back, and their daughter-in-law, Ruth, and Orpah, you know, Orpah stays, but Ruth goes back to Israel. Their life was completely turned upside down. Why? It's because they choose to leave God's best during a time of testing. You know what? Things are not always going to be easy. God has never told us in His Word that just because of the fact that you're doing God's will, that life is going to be easy, that there will never be a time of testing. It's probably the contrary. When you look at the Bible, you see testing happening over and over. You see God working and moving in people's lives. You see sometimes the devil tempting people to do evil. But it's always those who stay faithful and say, you know what? I know I'm where God wants me to be. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pass the test. But Abram, he passes many tests later on, but you know what? He doesn't pass the test here. He's there. He's in this new land. He left the Ur of Chaldees. He left Haran. He finally gets there. And the first sign of trouble, Abram's like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. This life of faith is not easy. It's not fun. You know what? It'd be a lot easier to go down there. But the third thing is, not only did he, this is a dangerous path because he left God's best and he left from God's test, but he also left God's rest. He left God's rest. So what do you mean? Well, see, here in Canaan, where God desires for you to be, God will take care of you. Here in Canaan, God has provided to bless you. Remember what it said in verses 2 and 3, chapter 12. It says, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See, that's when he was following God's pattern, God's call of faith. He says, look, when you do what I have called you to do, you know what? I'm going to be able to bless you here. Down in Egypt, God's not able to bless them. He's left God's rest. He said, what do you mean, the rest of your family? No, the rest that you can have in serving God. You know, times might be hard. Trials might be significant. It might seem like everything is against you. But just as the Apostle Paul, he said, rejoice. And Paul's in prison and he's rejoicing. Paul in his life had been, what? He's been beaten. How many times? He had been shipwrecked. How many times? He talked about being in peril. He talked about being in nakedness. He talked about all those different things. But in his life, he could rejoice. Why is that? Because he was in God's rest. God was taking care of him. Turmoil could go all around his life, but his eyes were focused on God. Now, this morning, I want you to understand something. God has a plan for you. God has a desire for you. He's not willing any should perish. And when it comes to faith and the life of faith that God is calling, that begins with salvation. See, we are all sinners. We are all lost. We are all undone. Without God, we are lost and on our way to a horrible place called the hell. God calls us off that pathway to hell, and he calls us to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his son. He sent his son down the cross to die for us. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose again. And that alone is the only thing strong enough to be able to pull us off that pathway to hell. That's where our pathway of faith, that's where our journey of faith, that's where our walk of faith begins, is by turning our eyes off of the things of this world and saying, hey, I can work and gain my way to heaven, and look to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone and say, you know what? I believed in what Jesus Christ did for me and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's where the faith journey begins. If you've never done that before, according to what the Bible says, you have a horrible future. Now, I'm not talking about the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in this world you might have. I'm talking about eternity without God. You can make that right today. The Bible even tells us that you can call upon the name of the Lord even today and be saved. That is what the journey of faith begins at. And that's where the first thing is that I want you to know, is that you can be saved. But after that, God's got a plan for you. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're male, female. I don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic. It doesn't matter to me. I know God loves you, and God has a plan for you. And God's best for you is when we can rest in his plan. This morning, are you resting in God's plan? Have you seen what God's best is? Are you passing the test? Are you resting in where he has placed you at? Now, I know that rest is not the idea that you're never going to have any turmoil or trials. All through the Bible, we see Abraham even has turmoil and trials. But he can rest in knowing that he has done exactly what God's called him to do. But most Christians know what God's best is for them. But many times they're dwelling over here in Egypt land, or they've gone back to the world because they had some type of famine happen in their life. Maybe someone got sick. Maybe someone didn't treat us the way we thought they should have been treated. Maybe they didn't treat our kids the way they thought they should have been treated. Maybe we thought everyone was more like the Canaanites, and that we saw how we can never get along, never be a witness there, so we move off to somewhere else. Be careful, because the pathway to Egypt is a very, very dangerous path. I want you to know this and understand that to leave God's will, to leave God's best, no matter how difficult it may seem, is very dangerous, because instead of being able to rest in God's promises and God's will for your life, you step out of that, you have nothing to hold on to but yourself. And yourself is going to get yourself in a mess, as we're going to see here. Second thing, not only is it a dangerous path, it's a dishonest path. It's a dishonest path. Look what the Bible says in verses 11 through 13 here. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verses 11 through 13, "And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt." So he's there, he's made his decision. He told Sarai, "Hey, look, things are getting kind of lean here. The lambs are getting kind of lean. We don't see any food. Everybody else is going to Egypt. I think we made the decision. We're going to go to Egypt." And Sarai, I can think, just look and say, "You know what? Whatever you think is best, whatever you think is right, I'm following after you," as she followed him from the Ur of Chaldees. Now, here's something happens, and we see the story kind of changes a little bit. He says, "When he came near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." So you know what he's doing? He wants his wife to do something. So you know what he tells her first? He says, "You're really, really good looking." And he's flattering her a little bit. And know what? To be honest with you, Sarai must have been a very attractive woman. According to the Bible time period, she's about 65 years old. And to think that Pharaoh is going to see someone who is 65 years old and be interested in them and think how attractive she was and want to take her, I mean, she must have been an attractive woman. But we see in verse number 12, what Abram asked Sarai to do. "Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister." I don't know about you, but if I was Sarah, I wouldn't be very happy right now. You think about it, Abram is saying, look, we need to go to Egypt because we're not going to survive over here in God's will. We need to go to Egypt, but I'm willing to give you up if I have to get to Egypt to make sure that I'm okay. You know, because he had already known this ahead of time. He had already planned this because he knew what was going to happen in Egypt. And verse 13 says, "Say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, that if they be that they, it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Now, he's saying, okay, if you have to go to Pharaoh's house and become Pharaoh's wife, then that's what it's got to be. If I was Sarah, I probably would never, ever talk to the man again. Wouldn't you? I mean, think about it. That's pretty rough to say, hey, look, you're saying we got to leave Canaan. Now you're saying that I got to go become Pharaoh's wife, possibly. I asked one lady, he says, "What would you do if your husband did that?" He says, "I'd kill him." So you wouldn't have to worry about Pharaoh killing the guy. The wife would kill the guy. You know, that's it, the truth is, it's a dishonest path. He said, what are you talking about? See, for us to leave the center of God's will and head over to Egypt, we're going to lie to ourselves. We're going to believe a lie that the devil told us. Abram believed the lie that God could not take care of him in the center of God's will, that God could not take care of him in Canaan, that God was not going to be willing to do whatever was needed. He believed that he had to go to Egypt. He believed he had no other choice. And he believed the lie of the devil. And if we're going to leave God's will and head over to the world, you know what? We're going to believe a lie of the devil. The Bible tells us about the devil. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, Abram was deceived into believing that he could not make it doing God's will. He was believed into deceiving that he had to turn his back on God's plan. And that's what the devil will often do. He will try to deceive us and tell us, you can't make it on your own. You need to do what God told you not to do. You think about it. Sin always works its way. Think about what happened in the garden. Eve sinned because she believed God's lies more than God's promise. Satan's lies than God's promises. And here, anytime we choose to leave God's best to head to the world, it's a dishonest path, because instead of believing and trusting in God, we begin to look at our own ways and try to figure out ways to cover up our mistakes. Think about what Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, according to Proverbs 22:1-2, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now, how come Jonah thought it was best to leave? How come Abram thought it was best to leave? How come any time a person says, I'm leaving what God wants and I'm heading over to the world, is because in their eyes they believe they're doing what is right. But when you leave God's best and head over to Egypt, you know what you're done? You left it all up to you. Here in God's best, God's promised to trust. He says, trust in me, I'll take care of you. He's promised that you're never going to go without. He's promised that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake. He's made you all these promises in God's best. But when we head over to Egypt, you know what? We're going to have to depend on ourselves. We're going to have to make up falsehoods. We're going to have to convince ourselves. He did not think God was going to take care of him, so he concocted a plan to help him while he was in Egypt. Oh, what a sad day. This great man Abram, who had left and followed God by faith, did not have the faith that God could take care of him during the midst of the storm or the trial. It's a sad day when any believer turns from the truth to embrace a lie. But we can learn from this mistake. We can learn that we ourselves have had problems like this. We ourselves have birthed a lie in our heart to try to justify the things that we allow to happen in our lives. But it's a sad day when we believe the lie that the devil has given us and said, you know what? You don't have to do things God's way. Instead, you can just go ahead and do it your own way. You know, the problem is when you birth a lie, you have to live that lie. And one lie always leads to another lie. Remember, when you birth a lie, you have to live that lie. And one lie always leads to another lie. Think about David and Bathsheba. Most of us know the story of David and Bathsheba. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. He saw a woman bathing. He committed adultery, and he got the woman pregnant, and he brought the woman's husband home to try to cover up the sin. And in the end, not only was David an adulteress, not only was not he doing what the king should have been doing, he became a murderer, one of his faithful, most faithful, mighty men. Why? It's because he believed in a lie. He thought he could cover it all up. He thought, well, I know what God would want me to do. God would want me to make this right. But instead he says, no, I'm going to go and do things the way I think they should be done. And one of the problems we have in our life is when we get our eyes off of what God plans for us and believe the lies that the devil has given us and fabricate the truths, and we begin to believe them. Abram began to believe this was his only hope. Abram began to believe that he had to get to Egypt. Not only did he have to get to Egypt, he had to possibly give up his wife in order to make this all work out. But standing over here is the center of God's will, where God promises he can take care of him. You know what? The pathway to Egypt, it is a very dangerous path, and it's a dishonest one. Stop lying to yourself. Be honest with yourself. If you're not in the center of God's will, be honest with yourself and be honest with God, because you're going to make a disaster of your life. And that's the third thing, is the pathway to Egypt is a disastrous path. A disastrous path. You see the story, and once again, where I got stuck at this week when I was studying it through, and I was thinking, boy, how could he do this to his wife? I don't know about you. I read the story, and those verses just jump out to me, and how in the world could he allow this to happen to his wife? Wouldn't you rather starving in Canaan with your wife than be over in Egypt without her? Doesn't matter how much of the things that the Pharaoh can give you, it would never be enough to be able to cover the guilt, to be able to cover the shame, to be able to cover the loneliness and the heartache that giving your wife up. It wouldn't matter. It would be a disastrous life to be able to do that. And that's what happens. Not only is it a dangerous pathway and a dishonest one, it's going to turn out to be a disaster. You might say, well, you know what? When I go over to the world, things are going to turn out to be a little bit better. Things seem to be going good. Things seem to be happening the way they're supposed to. If you look in the story, Abram received a lot of sheep. He received a lot of animals. He received a lot of servants. It looked like Abram was doing okay. No, he made a disaster of his life. You say, well, what do you mean disaster? Well, number one, I think it destroys our relationships. It destroys our relationships. When we choose to leave God's best and go over to the world, we're going to destroy our relationships. Remember, and we're using the illustration here about the relationship that must have been between Sarai and Abraham. And once again, if Sarai had gone done, I probably would have never talked to Abram again in my life. He was so worried about himself. He believed the lie so much. He believed that there was no way he could finish it. He had to give up his own wife. Boy, that destroys a relationship, doesn't it? When we leave God's will to do what we think is best and to go to the world, so many times husbands destroy the relationships with their wives. Wives destroy the relationships with their husbands. They destroy the relationship with their children because instead of doing things God's way, instead of staying in God's will, they choose to do things their own way. We got to learn that God's way is the best way. And the pathway to Egypt or the pathway to the world, it is a disastrous result for the believer. Not only does it destroy relationships, it destroys testimonies. You know, sometimes we believe that if we just go back to the world, that it's not going to hurt anybody. No one's going to be affected. Boy, it destroys your testimony. Testimony is the how you represent God in this world. And Abram, boy, think about the testimony he had. Think about with Pharaoh. You go back and you read the story, what Abram had birthed this lie in his heart. The devil had convinced him of this. Pharaoh did see Sarai. And Pharaoh, because of Sarai, said it was his sister, did take Sarai to be a wife. And it says in verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Now, here's what I'm thinking. It destroyed their testimony because remember in verses 2 and 3, what was it said? He was going to be a blessing to all the people of the earth. All the families of the earth would be blessed by Abram if he would obey God. Okay, he has his first chance with his first world power, and what happens? Yeah, Abram's never ever going to be able to be a witness to God, is he? Abram has lied and said that Sarai was his sister. Pharaoh took her, and then Pharaoh is plagued. Pharaoh, I can imagine when Pharaoh says, hey, take your wife, get out of here. And as he's leaving, he's looking at those other Egyptians and saying, if that is what a believer in the one true God says, hopefully I'll never meet another one ever in my life. It destroyed the relationship, but it also destroyed his testimony. Because he chose to go back to the world, there is no way that Pharaoh or anybody in Egypt could ever have any respect for what Abram did because he was willing to give up his wife. And many times what a Christian does is because they're willing to leave God's will for something inside the world, they destroy their testimony, and no one will ever give them any respect because it says, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with it. You think about, not only was Pharaoh there, but think about Lot. Lot was younger. Lot was in the story. We met him last week. He's Abram's nephew. I believe Lot is there watching it. I believe maybe Lot was, we know Lot's interested in things. I believe when Lot saw all the sheep, he says, hey, look, there's all these sheep. Look, there's all these gorgeous slaves. Look, there's all these things. Abram's moaning inside himself. But you know what? Lot learned something from Abram that day. Because remember, late years later, he doesn't stay inside God's will. He goes over to Sodom. And what happens when he's in Sodom? The angels come. And what happens when they begin knocking on Lot's door? What does he do? He offers up his daughters. You know, Abram was willing to offer up Sarai if he had to protect himself. Now Lot's over here willing to offer up his daughters. Now, you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, it's horrible to break your testimony to the lost. But the Bible says Lot was a just man. As much wickedness as he did. I don't like to think of him as a Christian, but the Bible said he was a just man. You know, it destroys your testimonies with those that are believers. When you choose to leave God's best and say, I'm leaving it, don't want to have anything to do with where God wants me to head over to the world, boy, we lose our testimony with those young people we're trying to reach. We lose those testimony with those people who we've been praying for and working with, trying to see them saved, trying to see things happen in their lives. Instead, we throw our testimony right out the door when we head down that pathway to Egypt this morning. Not only is it a dangerous pathway and a dishonest one, it's disastrous because it destroys your testimony. And last but not least, it destroys your life. Destroys lives. Many times people think we're going to be happier in the world. Many times people say, so good, you know what? God's taken away all my fun. God has done all these things. God God is not owning up to his end of the bargain. And it seems like everybody else is having so much more fun in Egypt. It seems like everybody else has got everything they want in Egypt. It would be so much better if I was over in Egypt. You say, well, Pastor, how does it destroy your life? Well, first of all, think about what it does to your walk with God. Think about what it does to your walk with God. In Egypt, Abram had no altar. In Egypt, he had no sacrifices. In Egypt, he had no prayers left up to God. He totally left God out of what he was doing. And anytime a child of God lives like the world, it's a tragedy in itself, and they turn their back on God, and it ruins their relationship with God because their sin has separated their fellowship from God, and it destroys their life because their life is supposed to be found in Christ. The Bible says no man can serve two masters, or either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. And what are you getting at, Pastor? It will destroy your life with God when you choose to turn your back on his will. Yes, he is forgiving. Yes, you can come back to God. You can confess your sins. He'll be faithful to forgive us of our sins. Yes, he'll be just. He'll be faithful. He'll forgive us every time. But at that moment in time, when you choose to get out of God's will and begin doing things your own way, you're destroying your relationship with God. Think about what it does to our peace. Think about what it does to our peace. In Canaan land, there was peace in Abram's life. He had hope. He had peace. He had the blessings of God. He had the promises of God in Canaan. But the life we think is so much better in the world in Egypt is a place far from God. And it's not full of peace. It's full of disappointment. He gets to Egypt and he's completely, completely overwhelmed because his wife is taken from him. We think the world's so much better. We think that the allurements of the world will satisfy our souls. But I can guarantee you the world and all its allurements will not satisfy the soul that has been tasted the goodness of the Lord. If you tasted the goodness of God and think that the world's going to help you, you know what? It's never going to satisfy you. The Bible even says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You know, he says, the Bible's saying there, he says, look, you might think that a little bit more money is going to make you happy, a little bit more pleasure, a little bit more this, a little bit more that. It's going to satisfy you, but the Bible says you'll never be satisfied with it. The only place that you'll have peace and complete fulfillment is found in the Word of God, and it's found in God himself. Now think about it. I know you might argue with me. You might say, you know what? It looks like people in the world, they're doing good. It looks like they're having a good time. They're having that party life. They're living rotten, and they're getting away with it. They're prospering. You know what? Those prospers are not things that are going to help your life. Even think about Abram here. He does get things. He gets things from Egypt and from Pharaoh, and then they send it away. But those type of riches, they become problems. You know what's found in a couple chapters later? He gets in trouble with one of the things I think he believes he picks up in Egypt. Hagar, you know, that woman that's in chapter 16 that Sarah says, hey, go have a child with her. You know where he got that? He got that from the riches of the world. I think he picked up Hagar probably while he was down there, and Pharaoh sent him away with those maidservants. That's who Hagar was. That type of riches, those type of things will always get us in trouble. We think that the world's best has blessings, but really, they're life's greatest burdens. We never are happy with them, and we're never satisfied. Now, here's the last point, is under the fact that it is, think about what it does to our future. Think about what it does to our future. You know, if God hadn't intervened here, God would never have been able to do what he wanted with Abram. God intervenes. He saves Sarai from becoming the Pharaoh's wife. And yes, if Abram would have had the world's riches, but he would have been miserable with them. He would never have been able to be exactly what God wanted him to be. And when we are willing to get off God's pathway and let it destroy our relationships and destroy our future, you know what? We're never going to be what God wants us to be. God's designed you and destined you for a certain call and purpose. That begins with salvation. But after that, God encourages you onto a faith and a journey of faith. And you know what? As a Christian, sometimes we leave God's best and head over to the world. But in my mind, God's not going to let you stay there. If you're a child of God today and you're a servant of God and you're a Christian and you know God's best and God's will and you head on over to the world, God's not going to allow you to stay there. He loves you too much. He knows what the world's going to do to you. He's going to bring things in your life because you're running from that test. Let me be honest with you. You will never be happy over here. You'll never be happy in the world because God's best is over there. God's rest is over there. God, yes, he might bring testing, but God is where you designed you to be over there. Over here, it's not going to fix the problem. Sometimes people say, you know what? If I leave God's best and go over to the world, that will fix the problem. That will never, ever fix the problem, the test that you're going through. If you're going through a test today, leaving God's will is not going to accomplish it. Abram said, hey, if I could just get to Egypt, everything would be just fine. But when he got into Egypt, he was met with turmoil and trials and testing. But now he can't turn to God. And when you're going through your life right now and you've left God's best and you're going through all these things, but you have no God to turn to because you've left and turned your back on him, that's where your peace is gone. That's where your future is gone. Because the promises God has for you, they're intended for his will. You know what? The truth about the pathway to Egypt is it's a dangerous path, it's a dishonest path, and it's a disastrous path. You'll never find what you're looking for in the world as a Christian. Now, the world, they might party it up. They might have a good time. They might live for today and never worry about tomorrow. But someday we all have to stand before God. And if you've ever tasted the goodness of God and know what it's like for God to work and move in your life, and you know what God's will is for you, to go to the world, it is a disastrous thing to do. This morning, are we living for God? Are we on God's path of faith that he's encouraged us to come on? Or have we decided to do things right in our own eyes and head back to the world? There's a lot of illustrations, a lot of application we can make to this. But let us just think. Have we left God's best? And what are we leaving behind? The world, you'll never find what you're looking for. And Egypt might promise something, but it'll never give you satisfaction. This morning, are you on that pathway of faith, or have you slipped off and turned your back? You can get back and get right with God, even here today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.